Hey, Token CEO listeners, you can find every episode on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or YouTube. Prime members can listen ad-free on Amazon Music.
What if the golf ball you're playing isn't the number one ball for you? Meet the all-new TP5 and TP5X from TaylorMade. Whether you prefer the softest five-layer tour ball in the TP5 or the fastest, that's now a half a club longer in TP5X, you'll be playing a golf ball that performs like it was built just for you. Available in white, yellow, and picks, you can personalize it with my symbol. No matter which you choose, every TP5, TP5X is designed to help your game. Head to TaylorMadeGolf.com today to find the number one ball for you.
Hey, what's going on there, pal?
We saw you at the hockey game on.
Do I know you guys?
I'm Ryan Whitney. I got a drink named after me.
Not a big deal.
Pink Whitney? That's what I thought. See ya, fellas.
I invented the thing, you pigeon.
Pink Whitney for legendary moments.
One of the greatest things that can come from a crisis is that it gives you clarity and visibility on things, and it helps to put into focus what actually matters. It's Thursday, May 12th, 2022. This is episode 215 of the Token CEO podcast. I'm Erica Nardini. I'm the CEO of Barstool Sports. Subscribe to this show on YouTube. That's our number one ask. So if you haven't done anything productive today, you want to work like a girl, you want to get our incessant blathering once a week on Thursdays, you can do so by subscribing to our YouTube. So do that now. You can also shop our business casual crew neck. So we've got an awesome crew neck. It's super soft. It's actually, I think, the same material and make that we do for the Collar Daddy sweatshirts, which are amazing. Shop those at store.barstoolsports.com. Okay, so let's just talk about a bunch of things. One, let's talk about Roe v. Wade. So we tend to avoid topics that are political or topics that are, I think, overtly controversial. Obviously, Barstool isn't afraid to get into the mud or get into the soup, but I think we've always felt that we're happy to have Republicans and Democrats listen to our pods, or people who are on the left, or people on the right, or people who are in the middle, or all political views, all religions, all creeds. But I think when you look at what's happening in this country around Roe v. Wade, and Dave talked about this last week on his show, which we'll play a clip of.
And I thought this in my head, too. It's like, theoretically, Republicans are like less government, small government. So, like, shouldn't Republicans be pro-choice? Because let the person... Now, I know the argument. Yeah, you don't want the federal government making the laws. You want the state. But overall, the less government is just let a fucking woman do what she wants with her body. Keep the government out of it. That's, to me, what that is. It's like, yeah, you can't ban it. If a woman wants it, great. She doesn't want it, great. Her choice. No government. Less government. Less government. That, whatever. Mm-hmm. It's a crazy thing. It has to be said. People, I'm sure some people are like, that's not your thing. They're going to be mad. It's a super sensitive issue. I don't care. Certain issues, you have to be like, what the fuck are you talking about? This is one of them.
I think when you look at what's happening, and you've got to have your head in an absolute sandbox if you don't know what's happening around Roe v. Wade, which is that essentially Justice Samuel Alito, so he's a Supreme Court justice, is about to overturn Roe v. Wade. Roe v. Wade was passed in the 70s. It gives women the right to choose, and it gives women the right to choose on whether or not to carry a pregnancy to term. And it gives them that right to choose without unwarranted government involvement, right? So it essentially says your body, your choice. Women should be able to decide what to do anytime and at all times, and that is a liberty that is protected in the Constitution. Okay, so that seems like a good thing, right? Like, why wouldn't a woman have a right to choose? Why should where you live dictate whether or not you can have an abortion? Like, that to me is so bananas. This is also so, so dangerous, in my opinion, because let's face it, people are having sex. People get pregnant all the time. And what this is essentially saying is that if you live in any number of states, you can't get an abortion. You would need to carry that baby to term. You could give that baby up for adoption. But essentially, that it is not a woman's right to decide whether or not she should keep that baby. Maybe it was a one-night stand. Maybe it's from a relationship where you can't afford to have kids. Like, who knows? But who cares? And I think the other piece of this that's just so disturbing is that when you restrict access, when the government restricts access to reproductive health, including abortions, it doesn't make the sex stop. It doesn't mean that people stop looking for solutions. They just go to worse places and more extreme measures, which is not good for women, which is not good for society. And I don't think it's good for America overall. So this is a massive issue. I don't exactly know what we should be doing about it. I mean, obviously, people should write their representatives. People should scream and yell and stomp around, which people are doing, I think, in great number. The other really disturbing thing about this is that the whole rationale for why Roe v. Wade should be overturned, and he wrote a whole bunch about it, is that it's not rooted in the history of this nation, which to me makes no sense. Like, your physical liberty is a very big part of your overall liberty in being an American. And to discriminate or to put women at a disadvantage because you happen to get pregnant, think of the things that women will not be able to do because they are pregnant with a child, right? Think of the choices that complicates. Think of the financial hardship. Think of the impact on someone's health. Think about the wrenching decision after you've carried a baby 9 months. Like, one of the whole arguments is like, oh, you can just give your baby up for adoption. Like, yeah, that's easier said than done. And just think about how much that clouds someone's options and how much that clouds someone's ability to empower themselves in the workplace or in society or with their friend group. I think the other thing that nobody is talking about is that how this disproportionately affects women of color and women of who do not have strong financial means. And I think one of the things that's just so upsetting about this whole thing, it makes me feel so fragile about the rights we do have. Like, in 2022, if Roe v. Wade can be repealed, if the right to manage your reproductive health and to decide whether you want a baby or not is not your own, think about all the other things that are in jeopardy, right? Think about gay marriage. Think about taking the abortion pill. Think about equal pay. Think about equal opportunity. Like, if women's rights aren't a foundational part of this country, then what is this country really about? One thing I think is so upsetting and depressing is just how fragile everything is and how precarious our rights are. And the reason I felt like I should say something here is that this is something that should be talked about, because the reality is that if you're a young person, you should be able to decide things that have to do with your body. And that should be an irrefutable right. So that's my rant on Roe v. Wade. So there's a whole bunch going on at Barstool this week. I guess Deke Zucker is about to release all the burner accounts. That's very exciting. You've got the Rhea and Marty and Hank drama, which will be talked about incessantly this week. I'm not getting into any of that, one, because I don't think it's my place, and two, because I got way bigger fish to fry. So from my vantage point this week is where we're landing the plane. We have been taking a super critical, super hard look at how we're running the company. And I think, you know, I've talked about this a bunch. One of the greatest things that can come from a crisis is that it gives you clarity and visibility on things, and it helps to put into focus what actually matters. And what happened to us in January is we had a large number of executives leave. As a result, we got to have a look at the inner workings of our business, whether that was how things were produced, how they were sold, how deals were executed, how we think about running the business, how we pay for things, who we pay for things, when we pay for things, like all this stuff we've been looking at. Like, and I, you know, probably for most people who listen to most of our shows, this is so fucking boring compared to the drama that we can manufacture. But I actually think this is a really healthy, good thing, and also a really important thing. I think one of the things that happened is, you know, COVID happened, right? Where people just became siloed. We have people who'd been here a long time. We've, you know, quadrupled in size in the last 4 years. So the people who started with us 4 years ago didn't necessarily like 2022 Barstool. We've just been chasing growth and progress and momentum that when people left and we got a chance to like look under the hood, it's like when you clean out your refrigerator, or like, I drive my dad's like old Saab, like the thing hardly works. And like I lifted the trunk up this weekend for like the first time in I don't know how long. And there's like animals living in between like where the trunk top is and the bottom is. Like, and I'm like scraping it out, you know, throwing leaves and dirt and muck. And I can't even imagine what on the ground. That's what's happening here, is that we lifted up the trunk of something, not necessarily because we wanted to, but because the trunk just popped up. And then we're like, fuck, what are we doing in here? How are we going to manage this? What is this? And that's what we've been digging into for the last, you know, really 12 to 14 weeks. And this week we land the plane. And what does land the plane mean? One is like, this company has gotten so, so wasteful about how we spend money. Like, it's breathtaking, the wastefulness. I don't think it's malicious. I don't think it's calculated. I honestly think people don't use their heads. We never gave them a strict enough budget or a firm enough number to work off. Three is we gave so many people control. Like, that's one of the biggest things that's so incredible about Barstool, is the freedom and the ability to create anything. We replicated that with the company card, which was hashtag extremely stupid. Like, we should never have done that, but we did it. Now we got to reel it back in. And the amazing thing is, you know, we're growing. Our ad business is going to grow, let's say 35% year over year, maybe even higher than that. Our spending is growing like three times that. So it's not like we're not growing. We're still growing. It's just that we don't have the right practices right now to grow as a $200 million company. We still have the same practices that we used when we were a $40 million company. You know, what am I happy about? I'm happy about that awesome people are getting promoted. I'm happy about new people are taking really big responsibility. I'm happy that we have visibility into like what's actually transpiring in our business. I'm happy that we now have the eyes and the hands and the wherewithal to be like, that's stupid and is not common sense. We shouldn't be doing that. We haven't had that in a really long time. What am I bummed about? Look, I'm bummed that it impacts people's jobs. Like, that is so hard. It's wrenching. It's difficult. It's unpleasant. It's scary. I think that is like a really, really serious thing when a role gets impacted and things change. Like, you have to take that with a little bit of a heavy heart. But I also really believe that the people who have been here with us are going to go be the best people somewhere else, just by virtue of how much we do and how fast people learn and the things that everyone had access to here. So I feel like confident that the people who won't be at Barstool going forward are going to go on to do great things. And then I also really feel like, you know, I think negativity is contagious. I think complacency is contagious. And I think when you have a group where your best people can't shine, where people aren't given like a scary amount of responsibility and held accountable to that responsibility, and where they can't grow, I think that's what makes people negative. And I think that contributes to people being complacent. And I feel really good about the fact that we're going to be opening things up, making it easier to do things, finding more brilliant people. Like, I use this example all the time with Quigs. Like, we stumbled on Quigs. Quigs is so brilliant. How do we find our next Quigs? Like, maybe we stumble upon him, or maybe we go find him, right? How do we make it easier so that when a salesperson goes to a customer and is like, hey, Barstool Sports is awesome, buy us, that he or she doesn't have to make 17 phone calls and check with four different groups and have things run with pricing like six different ways? Like, us making things easier, making it easier to be more creative, making it easier to make the right decision, making it more streamlined, who's making what decisions, when, why, where, and how. And then streamlining all of those things will help us be more creative. It'll help us be more compelling, and it will help us be better run. It will give people the opportunity to grow here, right? We talk about Barstool Sports being a shortcut. I think when you have too many people and they're doing the same things and the process is fucked up and it's like an etch-a-sketch versus like a clean organization, that's where the shortcut ends, because then you just get caught in the loop-de-loop of things versus moving from point A to point B faster than the next girl or faster than the next guy. So that's really what we've been trying to achieve and are now putting into place. We're also, look, we have 94 shows here. No company of our size should have 94 shows. What was my mistake and our mistake? We treated all 94 shows equal, right? Sure, some of our biggest shows get more producers or more editors or more social people. What I loved about Barstool in the early days is that it was just Dave and Hank and Big Cat and KFC and Keith and a handful of guys. They didn't have anything, right? They had access to the blog. They had their phones. They had their creativity, and they made great content from that. Some of our best content came when we had nothing. Having more resources, having more producers, having more production, having more graphics, having more editors, having more cameras does not better content make. And so what we need here are better brains that are more empowered to do more things with less bullshit surrounding them, and then a faster, easier way to take those things into market. And a system that says, hey, if you can take your weird idea and make it something, then we're going to put resources behind it. And then the brands are going to come along. And then the t-shirts are going to follow. Like, all of those things are possible. But we almost created a model where we started with all the resources. We didn't start with the idea or the people. And as a result, we have a lot of things that weren't necessarily going the right places. So I think all those things combined will be a lot of change for people, but I ultimately think it will be very freeing. I think it will create a lot more creativity. I think it will drive a lot more collaboration. And ultimately, I think it will make Barstool a better place to work, and it will make the product coming out of Barstool a better thing to buy, a better thing to watch, listen, read, engage with, etc. So that's what we're doing here.
That's not just the sound of that first sip of Morning Joe. It's the sound of someone shopping for a car on Carvana from the comfort of home.
That's a good blend.
It's time to take it easy, like answering some easy questions to get pre-qualified for a car in minutes.
Talk about starting the morning right.
Just like customizing your terms so your car fits your budget.
Mm-mm-mm.
Visit Carvana.com or download the app to experience car shopping the way it should be. Convenient, comfortable. Ah.
All right, Q&A. What advice would you have for new managers? I just got promoted and I'm so excited, but I've never managed people. Any suggestions on getting started? All right. This is awesome. Congratulations. What I would say is keep your enthusiasm, but you're the boss, so you got to get your shit together. You have to have more than just enthusiasm. You have to have a vision for what your group is going to do. You have to be able to have a really clear assessment of where your team sits, what they're good at, what they're not good at, where they need help, what the biggest opportunities they haven't tackled are, where the biggest problems or the threats lie. Like, you got to have a really good look at who's in your team and what their strengths and weaknesses and opportunities are. And then you also really need to listen. So when you're a new manager, I think the best thing to do is just to listen. Listen to what your boss wants. Listen to what your boss's boss wants. And listen to what your team cares about. What are their complaints? What are the things they love? What are the things they wish they could do more of? What's holding them back from being successful? I think if you can listen, have a clear strategy, and be consistent in how you manage it. You got to have weekly meetings. You got to have one-on-ones. Like, you got to put the time into your team. And then finally, if you do all those things and you deliver results for your company, your team is only going to get bigger. All right. Second question, very timely for this episode. So my company just went through massive layoffs and a complete restructure, and I'm one of the ones who made it through. A lot of my favorite coworkers have been let go and everyone's a little bit uneasy. I have the same manager I've had since I started, who I really respect and care for, but I'm wondering what questions I should be asking them about how this reorg affects me and what I can be doing to stay proactive. Okay. All right. So one is, every company should change over time. So reorganizing yourself, imagine if your closet looked the same way it looked a year ago, 5 years ago, 7 years ago, 6 months ago, right? 6 months ago, it was winter, and now we're getting into spring, summer. If you still only had wool sweaters and sweatshirts in your closets, you would be poorly dressed for the season, right? So changing things, reorganizing things, getting things put into the right place, shifting what you have and making sure it matches what you need is an important part of life, right? We have the home edit as part of this episode, like cleaning through all your stuff, getting organized with it, figuring out what you need, what you don't need, how things have changed. Maybe you gained weight, maybe you lost weight, right? Maybe you used to like the color blue and now you like the color pink, right? Work is no different. And companies need to continue to look at how they're organized, what they're oriented to, and what's working and what doesn't work. If you are in a company that never changes, that company is probably not going anywhere anytime soon. Now, if your company's reorganizing, what I would be sure that I understand is why, right? Why is it changing? What is the change in demand? What's the change in how your company's oriented? Why did your bosses or your boss's boss's boss decide to make the moves that they've decided to make? I think you can be proactive about asking those questions, and then that will help you feel less uneasy. Of course, change is stressful. Change is stressful for everyone. Change is stressful for me, but it can be really good stress if you understand why something is changing, and then that understanding will give you the ability to decide how you want to be part of the go forward and how you want to be part of the future. How do I set expectations with my manager? We've gone through a lot of change in our company where a lot of people are changing roles, and I want to understand how I can set the best expectations with my boss. Expectation setting is super important. So Joanne used to always tell me, she would say, if I don't know what your expectations are of me and I haven't shared my expectations of you, it's natural that we're going to just disappoint one another, because we don't actually understand what each other are looking for. And that holds true for companies, that holds true for relationships with your boss, that holds true for relationships that you may have across your peers or your classmates or whatever. So my biggest thing is to ask your boss or your manager, what are your expectations? What are you looking for? Tell me what success looks like. How can I be of best assistance to you? Asking that question gets your partner, your boss, your manager, or your peer to open up about what their expectations are. I think following that, you can share what your expectations are. Hey, here's what I'm looking to achieve. I want to do ABC XYZ 1 2 3. Now, you may find that your boss's expectations and your expectations aren't exactly the same, and then that is a great opportunity for a dialogue, right? So when I talk to Jay at Penn, I'm like, all right, here's what my priorities are for Barstool Sports. I want to streamline the organization. I want to grow our commerce business faster than it's growing today. I want to find more personalities in our sports book, and I want to grow our presence in these following categories. Great. Jay's like, okay, that sounds awesome. Here are my priorities. I want to grow the Penn business. I want to expand Penn's footprint. I want to see greater traction in these markets. I need help with positioning around these regulators. Or, you know, in our case, Jay may say, hey, I want to figure out how Barstool and one of my expectations is that Barstool and the Score work more closely together. Okay, let's go figure that out. So I think having the conversation about expectations is a really great opportunity to just have a conversation, not only about what you want to achieve, but how you want to do things. And when you have that conversation, no matter how small your job is or how junior your boss may be, it helps you get on the right track. It helps you create a forum to share your voice about what you're looking for. And most importantly, it helps you get feedback on what your company is looking for from you so that you can make the decisions about if you want to do those things and how you want to.
Summer is all about the freedom to have fun. Forget a vacation and take a tequila-cation with new Truly Tequila Soda. This refreshing blend of real fruit juice from concentrate, sparkling water, and premium tequila blanco is the drink of the summer. Try all four refreshing flavors, all with 5% ABV and just 100 calories. Truly Tequila Soda. Keep it light. Hard Seltzer Beverage Company, Boston, Massachusetts. Please drink responsibly.
All right, so we've got Joanna and Clea from the Home Edit on this week. The Home Edit women, have created a business around home organization. So everything that we're trying to do as a company, they would have had that rainbow colored, labeled, put into a plastic container and ticked and tied years ago versus me just getting to it now. They've just released their second season on Netflix. Their Netflix series follows them organizing people's home from average, real, normal people to amazing celebrities like Reese Witherspoon. They also have several books, and they are a wealth of knowledge about what you can do to feel more organized, to feel more peace in your life, to feel more in control by just organizing your stuff. So I've like so much I want to talk to you guys about. How did you meet? How did this start? Like, tell the story.
So Joanne and I met through a mutual friend, and she thought that we would be a great fit to go into business together because I told her I wanted to start an organizing company, and Joanna had one previously in San Francisco. And Joanna definitely was not interested in a business partner Correct. At all, but I did make her go to lunch with me.
Yes.
And I was brand new. Joanna had been in Nashville for a year. I had just moved. I'd been there for a couple of months. I knew almost.
And were you looking for a friend or a business?
To me, I'm like, I wanted this company. It sounds like if there's someone I could really start it with, let's sit down and see if there's synergy. Joanna definitely was not looking for a business partner. And to be honest, was barely looking for a friend, if we're being completely frank. But I met Joanna. We had lunch. We got up 4 hours later as business partners, no questions asked.
Yeah. Well, as soon as I met her, I was like, oh, 1,000,000%. Like it didn't even take us walking through the doorway together that I was like, yes.
And what was the original vision for the business?
So Joanna has a very traditional organizing background, and I went to art school, design school. I have a design background, and we really wanted to create something that was different, marketably different. And I said, I think that the two ways to accomplish this are to create a visual aesthetic that other people have not accomplished and to share that visual aesthetic on social media. And I was like, organizing has existed for a very long time. Let's elevate it. Let's make it style worthy and something of an aesthetic quality. And then let's make it shareable and something that it, you know, is on Pinterest and Instagram. And interior designers do this all the time. Like, why shouldn't organizers be able to leverage those platforms?
Organizers been? Like, you don't hear about the organizer. And I'm like, why isn't this a bit like I never.
It wasn't a celebrated field ever. I think it's been around forever. I mean, there is a National Association for Professional Organizers. It's been around for a very long time. It was never seen as glamorous. It was never seen as like a destination career, I think.
And that was my personal goal. Again, just having my background. I literally have a design degree, but also I worked for a long time in the social media space. I'm going to date myself all the way back to, I used to work at MySpace.
Oh,
so
okay.
I have been,
I
yes.
at AOL.
Okay. Well, again, so I feel you, but I've been in the social space for a really long time. And I was like, this is like, we can do this. Mm-hmm. And I believed that really firmly. And Joanna was like, what's Instagram? But I was like, just trust me. Like, and so.
Right. We came in with very separate, different skill sets.
But I was like, we can really make a mark for ourselves. I remember one of the first things I said is we need a really signature identifying labeling technique, because every organizer, honestly, up until we.
Until you invented the category.
Well, I think that we showed people what it could look like if you elevate your game and create something that isn't just functional for a client, but something that's really beautiful and you know, something that people aspire to and really want, and to be able to showcase it. No one was doing this before. Everyone was organizing. Organizing existed, but people were not sharing on social. This was not. We kind of made it a different sport.
This is like, I'm sure during the COVID Olympics, where I view that like women were in their houses and were like, I'm going to bake more bread than you, make a better herb garden. You two clearly exploded. They're like, I'll show you clear glass things with color-coded items in them. So talk a little bit about that. Like, how custom is your approach by home or person? Like, the Instagram is gorgeous. Like, it truly is so
it's satisfying to look at because it is so organized. So I think that piece is amazing. But how do you customize what you do for the person? Like, what's your thing that is specific to all the people you help?
We go in and we like a million questions. I mean, we basically are like doctors and we're like, okay, tell us about everything going on in your home.
All of your ailments.
Yeah. Tell us what's not working. Tell us what is working. Who lives here? How tall is everyone? Do you want your kids to have access to the snacks? Do you not want your kids to have access to the snacks? We ask like a litany of questions to every person. And we want to understand who they are and how their house functions so that we're not trying to swim upstream. We want to go with the flow. There's no reason to put the mail basket, on the side where no one comes in with the mail. If everyone drops the mail here, then we need to like work with the flow.
But every single project we do is bespoke. So we customize again. We have organized a million pantries, for instance, but every project is unique. The client's needs are different. The items that we're organizing are different. The space and the dimensions are different. There is no turnkey solution, period. Which can stump people because like they might look at our Instagram or read our books and they're like, why can't I do this? And it's like, well,
your house doesn't allow for it, or you're too neurotic and that would never work here.
Or, you don't have a walk-in pantry or, whatever
it
is.
Or you've got kids or you don't live by yourself. So your house is, there's so many factors. So each project is its own project.
We have to consider every variable.
Okay, got it. So you build, you both are home organizers / designers. I think that your aesthetic is insane. You build this Instagram, it blows up, everybody loves it. Netflix comes knocking. They do this incredible show. You write the book. Like, are you going to create? Do you have more versions of you two? Like, how many of are you always in pairs? Are there mini me's? Like, how does this work?
Well, we have many more things that we are developing and coming out with. So yes, there is, we definitely don't slow down. We are only in go mode. So we hope we get a season 3. We're working on book number 3. We have a workbook. So we kind of have 2.5 books that are out, but we just launched our magazine that we're really proud of. We're working on the next issue. We're developing a podcast. We have, a million
only,
and more.
It's only go mode.
It's only go mode. And again, our product collection at Walmart is one of the biggest feathers in our cap that we're so proud of. It really, I think, speaks to our desire to democratize home organization and make sure that every single person can afford to be organized, home organizing product is attainable. It reaches so many people. We're just really proud of that.
So let's talk about that for a second, because I had a closet purge this weekend. It is freezing in New York right now, but I was like, it's spring. I'm flipping it out. I've got the sweaters on the floor. I'm going to bring the dresses up. It's totally impractical, but I'm ready for spring and I want my closet to look like it. But talk a little bit about like, what are the basics? Like what are you fundamentally solving? Like, I think you give people peace of mind by knowing where their shit is all the time, but like, talk a little bit about the emotional benefit and then talk a little bit about what are the best practices that you would say to everyone.
Okay. We always start with the edit, and we always said it's the most important step. And that's why we put it in our name. It is so critical to not like discount that first step, because that's where the magic really starts. Once you get rid of things that you don't love, need, or use, you have a weight lifted off of you that allows you to move forward and ultimately maintain the space.
Absolutely.
You cannot have things that you don't love, need, or use. Otherwise, you hate or you don't appreciate the other things that are mixed with it. That's why it's like when you look at your closet for a million times, you're like, oh, I hate everything. No, you probably hate 2 sweaters that you've had since 7th grade, but it doesn't mean you hate the rest of the closet. You got to get rid of the 7th grade sweaters or whatever it is, you know?
And then how do you think, like, how do you help people maintain it? Like, I would have you, like, you seem very fun. I'd want to have a glass of wine. I would be like, do whatever you want. And then 3 weeks later, I would be like, it's all a mess. How do you help people keep it?
Well, there are a couple of things that we implement. First of all, a labeling system is key because it acts as a set of instructions, not just for you, but for your entire household. And it actually holds you accountable. If you have a bin labeled breakfast, you would never put like rice in that bin. So labels hold your space accountable. It holds your household accountable, and it becomes plug and play. You don't have to think about it. You know, even a labeling system is even organizing by the rainbow. Like if you hang up all of your items, you know, your dresses, whatever, in rainbow order, you know exactly where to put something away. You know where to get it when you need it. It just, it's, again, it's plug and play. The second system is honestly, it's how we lean into aesthetics. You're really proud of space. You love the way it looks. You love when people come over and compliment the way it looks. And that is a real motivator. So again, the aesthetic quality for us wasn't just about Instagram. It was about setting up a system that people want to maintain.
And also just to add on to that, Clea is exactly right. The third thing I would add is that you have to be realistic with your lifestyle. So it's, if you're not the type of person that's going to want to come home, you have to ask yourself, am I the type of person that wants to come home from the grocery store and decant each box of cereal into a beautiful container? If you are not, let's not set up that system, because that's not going to be able to be maintained. Just right. Have a basket and take the boxes out and just have the plastic, you know, I mean, the little inserts with all the cereal inside the basket. And it's still going to be beautiful. It's still going to be organized. It's just not going to be clear canisters perfectly aligned, because right. You're not going to be able to maintain that if you're not that type of a person.
Don't just look at a photo on Instagram and say, great, it looks fabulous, I'm going to do that.
It's maintenance.
You really have to think about
the maintenance,
your lifestyle.
Yeah.
And again, how much you want to, you know, organizing is, you need to maintain it. It's like going to the gym. It's like any other thing of self-care. You have to keep it up.
It's maintenance.
But you can be honest with your goals and honest with your reality. And you know what? It'll still look so good.
And you'll still be proud of it.
And you'll still be so proud of it, because everything's contained.
Yeah.
That's the goal. Don't think about containment as like what a canister being somehow better than just a basket.
Yeah, you're like, just get organized.
Exactly. And that you will maintain, because it's maintainable for you.
It's easy.
That's the
piece. Okay, so here's the problem I think many women, including myself, hand up have. When I work my ass off all day, I get home, I'm shoving whatever calories I can get into my face because I forgot to eat lunch or I ate a bad lunch or whatever. I get in the middle of my closet, I strip down, I leave everything on the floor, and then I have like a frenetic binge of cleaning like 4 days later.
Are you wearing those again? Any of those things?
I'm a big clothes rewearer. I don't like to wash my, I think it's bad for the clothes, but like, how do you, I shouldn't be doing this.
Well, let me ask you, I have a lot of questions about this.
I have a lot of questions too.
Okay.
You really opened up a can of worms.
So first of all,
I think people struggle with it.
Is your closet maxed out to capacity?
No,
it's not. Okay.
So when you literally create piles on the floor of your closet.
Yes, and then I'm like, hearing? Don't touch the piles. No one touch the piles, because I may shop there again.
You might rewear them.
Correct.
Okay, I think we need to come up with a better system.
I have a lot of questions. Yeah.
Because first of all, things in general do not belong on the floor. They don't. Okay. You are so welcome to rewear things. Totally.
And that's what's bad for the clothes. You don't want to put them on the floor.
You don't want to put
expensive clothes.
Yes. Right. So I rewear things. You know, I agree with you. We probably overwash things in general, but there are better systems. You could get a clothing rack. You could have a specific area of your closet with just a couple of hangers. Even if you just not even hang nicely, even if you fold a sweater, fold a pair of pants over the hanger, just something wrapped up on the floor.
I want to know what
hooks. You can install hooks in your closet.
Okay.
Anything. But here's the thing. What we always say to everyone, this goes for like, if you are a collector of things, if you're whatever it is, you need to be respectful of your items.
Yep.
And we are kind of known as the organizers who let you keep more things, because we are.
Oh, really?
We do.
Oh yeah, absolutely. If you have the space, but I have some questions. Okay. What's the pain point? Is it that you're tired, so you don't feel like hanging it up? Is it that you don't feel like you have the right hangers to use? There's some pain point that's preventing you from.
I'm lazy.
Okay. So then we need to create something that's lazy proof.
Yeah. I need a lazy proof, and I don't like dry cleaner hangers.
Okay.
Okay. You mean wire hangers?
Hate them.
Okay.
Of course you hate wire hangers. Who likes wire hangers?
Do you have other hangers in your closet?
Yeah, I probably need to go buy more hangers.
So you don't even have good hangers.
That's the issue. Okay. So we're solving it. Again, this is a diagnosis here.
But hold on. But I would take it
slow. I'm just advertising your business, guys.
No, but I would take it slow, because it sounds like, yes, you need hangers. You need proper hangers. That's number one. But number two, it's like the mail, right? You need a drop zone. because we're not trying to fight the flow of the water here.
Okay.
If you are walking in to your closet and taking your clothes off and dropping them, we need to have a receptacle in place that is better than the floor.
Okay, so again, I got you. I like this.
Okay, so yeah. even if it's a hamper, that's a clean clothes hamper.
Okay, yeah, clean, that's a second worst, like floor, clean clothes hamper, hook, yeah. rack, hang it up.
Rack, hang it up. That's right. That's the hierarchy.
Okay, let's go. All right. Now,
even a drawer, like something I just don't want things to be wrinkled for you. But again, if a clean clothes hamper is what works, I mean, there are clients who have like the chair, you know, the chair yeah. that's like, it's like, right.
Yeah.
It's not dirty enough to wash and, but like clean enough to wear. So it goes on the chair. We don't want to take up furniture. Like yeah. there are other
right.
things, but that's the system.
Is okay. Let's
move on from
that. Do you two ever yes. fight?
I feel like we've probably had like 5 or 6 fights yeah. in 6.5 years.
Yeah. It's about an average of
okay,
one
that's
per
not
year.
Bad.
Yeah.
All right. So your business is on fire. How are you scaling?
Well, we only know how to do things at warp speed.
Okay.
So everything that we tackle, you know, we actually kind of joke that we say we never rest on our laurels, but our logo actually has laurels in it, surrounding THE. So it's kind of something that we always think about, but, you know, we are really fortunate to have partnered and to have been acquired by Hello Sunshine. And now that we are part of Candle Media, I think scaling is something that we're really focusing on in a strategic way mm-hmm. instead of just like racing.
So Hello Sunshine bought you guys outright. Do you think you sold too early?
No.
It was the perfect time for us. It was exactly the right moment.
And these are the exact okay, right partners.
That's amazing. So that's why you're becoming so much of a media business.
Well, it's really interesting. Candle Media, they have kind of the core tenets of the company are content, community, and commerce. And that's literally who we are and what we do. So, you know, we are a content company. We celebrate and grow and continue to acquire our community. Our community is everything to us between Netflix audience, social followers, you know, all of that
why wouldn't you create an academy and just have people clone you, teach them how to be you and then get a cut of their business? Have you thought about that?
That's a great question. And I just want to say, stay.
Okay, fine.
Tuned.
Okay, great. I'll shut up now. Okay. That's cool. All right. So how are you dealing with the scale? How are you dealing with the fame? Like how are you dealing with all that?
It's really easy to deal with the fame because we actually organize for famous people.
Yeah.
So
exactly.
we will never feel famous.
No, right. No, we are in the service business here.
It's great. We're not famous people. We're people that a lot of people know, but we're not famous people. So it's easy.
Okay. And do you ever do jobs not together or do you always come together? Always together.
Yeah, we have a team.
Except
we have teams.
One job.
Two jobs.
3 jobs.
I can think of only 3 ever.
Did they go well or not go well?
They were all fine. Yeah. It's not the same. But we have teams of, we have teams all over the country that are, you know, incredible organizers that work with us. And I mean, they all branch out and do projects without us. But when the two of us go, it's either both or none.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Very rare. Someone has to be pretty sick.
Yeah.
To like bow out.
Okay. Okay. And how far in advance do you get booked?
Depends on the city. Honestly. We start to, if a wait list is longer than 3 months, we start to kind of need to hire more people in that market.
Okay. So got it.
Just depends.
How are you in the New York market? Clearly I need some help.
Very, very booked.
Very booked.
Very big market, but it's amazing.
But what a problem to have.
And our teams are incredible. So fantastic. They are.
And do you have
so
like a
good.
Scout yeah. team that goes and assesses the space so you've ordered the right containers and such?
The same people that do yeah. the organizing are the same people that do the consults.
Okay. That's yeah. smart. Okay. What else do you guys want to talk about? This is amazing.
I'm excited for people to see season 2. We're so proud of it. It's like, if you loved season 1, you're going to love season 2, but it's a little bit of a departure from season 1 because we show so much more of our family, our home life, you know, what it's like when we're not just at a client's house. Was it hard
for you?
It was easy to showcase all the other stuff because I feel like I've, at least Joanna's more private than I am, a lot more private. You know, for me, I'm like, I'm an open book. Whatever you see on Instagram is what you're going to see on the show, see in real life. But it was harder to film because it was so much more, it wasn't just the cameras on at a client's house.
Right. Cameras on like at your house.
Exactly.
Did it give you like a little anxiety of like, shit, is my house organized enough so that it looks like it's the organizer's house?
No, it's always organized.
Yeah, please.
That's the one piece of anxiety we don't have.
No anxiety about that. So that's
what happens when you go to like a celebrity's house and they're total assholes.
It's never happened.
What do you do in the total oh, come on.
No,
what about if you go to a regular person's house and they're assholes?
Most of our clients are not assholes.
I would say, I'm being dead serious. Celebrity or not celebrity, we have had so few people that have been even remotely problematic. Like truly, we have really worked with the most incredible people. I feel like we're just so fortunate for that. Honestly, we have some of the best clients. Because here's the thing, both celebrities and non-celebrities, all of our clients, I think have an organizing tendency already.
Yeah.
Like it's in
this
their
is an interest.
Like, DNA.
Yeah.
They have an interest, it's in their DNA. And so I feel like when they call us in, like we have like a mutual respect.
Yeah. You're meeting on the same level to do something.
Yeah, exactly.
Together.
Like we're only there to help if they want us. So
but I do think that I don't know. Maybe it's just we've had tremendous good fortune, but I can honestly tell you that they're a handful, small handful.
And it's usually, honestly, when someone's unhappy, it's usually because they were gifted us as a gift.
That's
and it's
right.
like, it's like gifting someone Weight Watchers.
Yeah, they're like, I don't know what to do with this. And I don't know if I wanted
exactly.
it.
It's like, you're saying I'm messy is what people
Yeah, and they're trying to figure out the other person's psychology.
Exactly. So that's the only time it doesn't really go great is if it's gifted.
But it's really rare.
It is.
We've been so
That's
fortunate.
Awesome. Can I leave you with 5 questions? You're so great. I'm definitely going to try you. I think you seem awesome. And I need the help. And I love organizing. You feel so satisfied. I like the clear basket.
Great.
Big fan of the clear basket. All right. Anyways, first 30 minutes of your morning.
On the phone.
Checking.
Definitely.
Just check it. Instagram, email.
Checking my phone. If I have time, I play Wordle. It's honestly first 30 minutes is drinking a lot of water, checking my phone and like meandering. I feel like for a bit until I like settle into a chair.
Into your day. Okay. What do you got, Joanna?
I would say if I have time, Wordle too. Otherwise, sometimes I save it for the night because it's like my reward.
Really, guys?
Yeah. And also drinking water. And then I'll put on workout clothes. Whether I ever make it fully to the workout is
100%.
But I put them on within the first 30 minutes.
All right. I love that. What's something you do every day without fail?
Oh, gosh. I feel like I'm actually a pretty regimented person. So like everything I do happens every
single
day.
I would say coffee.
Coffee, champagne. That's every day. Coffee until champagne, usually. I read on my Kindle.
Okay.
I'm on TikTok, Instagram.
All right. Biggest business mistake you've ever made or one big business mistake you've made?
So many. We are yes people and like to say yes to as many things as possible. And I think that sometimes we overextend ourselves in ways that are probably not like healthy, you know, like I think that, again, I don't really believe in mistakes. It's like a guilty pleasure. I'm like, well, you learn from everything.
Yeah,
so it's like nothing has really ever been like a, wow, we really messed up.
Yeah.
But I do think that being a yes person sometimes like comes to our detriment. And, you know, like there have been like projects even that we've taken on for like social exchange and things like that just like, you know, we overextend to a point that can just be really exhausting, you know, but again, everything leads to something.
Yeah. That's the thing. It's like, I mean, gosh, you can't even trace the trail. Sometimes the, you know, things you learn in the so far in the future, you don't even realize how they were connected to the past.
Right.
But we make mistakes all the time.
Every day.
Truly.
Okay. I love it. What gives you hope right now?
What gives me hope right now?
Just that I think working hard really pays off and you can really enjoy your work and it can be like your work can be so fulfilling that it doesn't feel like work.
I also feel like I'm really proud of the community that we've cultivated over the years. I think generally speaking, it's a really kind, uplifting, nurturing community. And, you know, of course there's mean Instagram comments and mean DMs that will always come through, but it does, you know, give me hope that we've, you know, we have like this little bite-sized niche in the world and we love them. And, you know, I think that as the next show comes out and hopefully, you know, with our podcast launching and all of these things that we just continue to have the, you know, esteem privilege of growing this community. Honestly, when we get shit in general, we try to really just not reply. Like, I think it's, you know, it's not for us to like defend.
Trolls for everything.
Yeah. Right. I mean, everyone has an opinion about everything and we just know that.
And you know what? I think that early days on Instagram, I would get like real fiery and I'd be like, no, that's not fair. Like, you don't know me. And now it's just like, you know what? You really can't please everyone.
No.
And everyone is here for different reasons and different things. And, you know, we're happy to have everyone in our tent, no matter.
Yeah. We'll take you as you come. If you don't want to be in our tent, don't come in our tent.
Yeah.
And you know what? But we're happy to have everyone. That is.
Yeah. That's great. I love that. Okay. What's a business or a brand besides your own that you find very exciting right now?
Oh gosh. Those are such good questions. I know. Oh, so many. I've been really fascinated by Honest Company over the years. I just think that what they built is kind of astounding in the very short amount of time that they've been around. There are a lot of internet companies that I find really fascinating.
I like can't answer this one off the cuff because I'm going to really want to think about this tonight. Like I'll get back to you. I can't.
All right. Last question is what's your biggest pet peeve when you get into a house?
When people feel committed to a wire hanger.
Oh, great. You will be fine. Do you have one, Joanna?
What's the biggest pet peeve? This isn't really a pet peeve, but just that people think that we're going to be able to be done really quickly with the project and that we're not going to make a huge mess in the process. Cause it, you know, it's not total magic. We have to like make a mess before it gets better. So
do you get overwhelmed at that mess phase where you're like, oh, there's such a pile.
Everything else in life overwhelms us except for that one thing. Yep.
You're like, I get the mess in your house phase. I love that.
That is it. We're fine with that.
Okay. Ladies, tell people where to find you, how to find you, how they can compete with me for an appointment with you in like 2070.
Well, everyone can find us. All of our social handles are the same. It's at The Home Edit. We have books available, product collections at Walmart and The Container Store. Our Netflix show is starting April 1st. We have a magazine called The Home Edit, which is newsstands everywhere. It's honestly pretty hard to not find us right now. So I like apologize to everyone. We're
Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Circling back. Up, oh, we're at circling back.
Yeah. Airbnb said more than 800,000 people flocked to its career page after it announced that employees could live and work anywhere.
So Airbnb, they said they had 800,000 people because they can work from home?
Yeah, Airbnb recently said we're now allowing every employee they can work from anywhere. And once they announced that, more than 800,000 people flocked to its careers page.
Wow. I mean, yeah. I believe it. I think that millennials don't want to work in the office.
Yeah.
Or work, as we talked about last week. But right. I don't think that's surprising. I think it's going to be hard, though, to think of the HR challenge if you have...
Everything,
yeah, think if you have 5,000 employees and nobody's in an office, like what is your,
yeah,
where's the place of your company?
Okay, Facebook is shutting down its podcast platform after less than a year.
I mean, remember Facebook Watch? That was short-lived and kind of a bomb.
Keep doing that.
right? I mean, yeah. Facebook Watch and then the podcast platform. That's like Amazon is, there's always rumored that Amazon is getting in the podcast business. Maybe they will be. I'm not surprised. I think like a lot of companies, when you have a really big thing that you do really, really well, and then you try to add all these other little things and you don't really invest in them, they don't really ever go anywhere.
Right. So we're not surprised.
No.
Okay, this is interesting. Soul Cycle without the bike. Here comes peoplehood.
Oh, I read about this in the Times this weekend.
Yeah.
The founders created. What is peoplehood?
So it's essentially a room for discussions called Gathers, and it's basically, it's not working out. It's just is by the founders of Soul Cycle, and it's almost like how I read it is like a group therapy session almost. Like,
I think that they're trying to democratize therapy and make therapy. Mm-hmm. You can go to therapy, group therapy, like you went to a fitness class.
Yes.
So the next thing you know is you can pay like $35.99 to sit in a dark room with neon lighting and like cute pictures of the group. Yeah. And with a little locker, and you can be in therapy. Kind of an interesting concept.
Well, and SoulCycle too, the whole thing was people love it because it's more than just a workout. They feel very empowered.
Yeah, it's part of the community. They understand community.
Yeah. Do you think it will last or work?
Yeah. I think that there's so much happening around mental health.
Yeah.
See, I think they're onto something. I think there's a communal aspect of it. Shared experiences. Fitness has always, there's emotional well-being that goes with physical well-being. So I think it's super interesting.
Me too.
All right. That's it for today's episode.
Yep.
Subscribe and watch us on YouTube. Buy the merch. Subscribe to Things You Missed. You can do all of this on our Instagram. You can follow us anywhere you can follow people. And we'll see you back here next week.